Chapter 57, The Convalescent, Segment 1. One morning, not long after his return to his cave, Zarathustra sprang up from his couch like a madman, crying with a frightful voice, and acting as if someone still lay on the couch who did not wish to rise. Zarathustra's voice also resounded in such a manner that his animals came to him frightened. And out of all the neighboring caves and lurking places, all the creatures slipped away, flying, fluttering, creeping, or leaping, according to their variety of foot or wing. Zarathustra, however, spoke these words: "Up, abysmal thought, out of my depth! I am your cock in morning dawn, you overslept reptile! Up, up! My voice shall soon crow you awake! Unbind the fetters of your ears! Listen, for I wish to hear you. Up, up! There is thunder enough to make the very graves listen. And rub the sleep and all the dimness and blindness out of your eyes. Hear me also with your eyes. My voice is a medicine even for those born blind. And once you are awake, then shall you ever remain awake. It is not my custom to awake great-grandmothers out of their sleep, that I may bid them sleep on. You stir, stretch yourself, wheeze. Up, up! Not wheeze shall you, but speak to me. Zarathustra calls you, Zarathustra the godless. I, Zarathustra, the advocate of living, the advocate of suffering, the advocate of the circuit. You do I call, my most abysmal thought. Joy to me, you come, I hear you. Mine abyss speaks, my lowest depth have I turned over into the light. Joy to me, come here, give me your hand, ha, let be, ha ha, disgust, 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 alas to me. Segment 2. Hardly, however, had Zarathustra spoken these words when he fell down as one dead and remained long as one dead. When, however, he again came to himself, then he was pale and trembling and remained lying, and for long he would neither eat nor drink. This condition continued for 7 days. His animals, however, did not leave him day or night, except that the eagle flew forth to fetch food. And what it fetched and foraged, it laid on Zarathustra's couch, so that Zarathustra at last lay among yellow and red berries, grapes, rosy apples, sweet-smelling herbage, and pine cones. At his feet, however, 2 lambs were stretched, which the eagle had with difficulty carried off from their shepherds. At last, after 7 days, Zarathustra raised himself upon his couch, took a rosy apple in his hand, smelt it, and found its smell pleasant. Then did his animals think the time had come to speak to him. "O Zarathustra," said they, "now have you lain thus for 7 days with heavy eyes. Will you not set yourself again upon your feet? Step out of your cave. The world waits for you as a garden. The wind plays with heavy fragrance which seeks for you, and all brooks would like to run after you. All things long for you, since you have remained alone for 7 days. Step forth out of your cave. All things want to be your physician. Did perhaps a new knowledge come to you, a bitter, grievous knowledge? Like leavened dough lays you, your soul arose and swelled beyond all its bounds." "O mine animals," answered Zarathustra, "talk on thus and let me listen. It refreshes me to hear your talk. Where there is talk, there is the world as a garden to me. How charming is it that there are words and tones? Are not words and tones rainbows and seeming bridges twixt the eternally separated? To each soul belongs another world. To each soul is every other soul a back world. Among the most alike does semblance deceive most delightfully, for the smallest gap is most difficult to bridge over. For me, how could there be an outside of me? There is no outside. But this we forget on hearing tones. How delightful it is that we forget. Have not names and tones been given to things that man may refresh himself with them. It is a beautiful folly, speaking. Therewith dances man over everything. How lovely is all speech and all falsehood of tones! With tones dances our love on variegated rainbows. O Zarathustra, said then his animals, to those who think like us, things all dance themselves. They come and hold out the hand, and laugh, and flee, and return. Everything goes, everything returns. Eternally rolls the wheel of existence. Everything dies, everything blossoms forth again. Eternally runs on the year of existence. Everything breaks, everything is integrated anew. Eternally builds itself the same house of existence. All things separate, all things again greet one another. Eternally true to itself remains the ring of existence. Every moment begins existence. Around every here rolls the ball there. The middle is everywhere. Crooked is the path of eternity. O you wags and barrel organs, answered Zarathustra, and smiled once more. How well do you know what had to be fulfilled in 7 days, and how that monster crept into my throat and choked me. But I bit off its head and spat it away from me. And you have made a leer lay out of it. Now, however, do I lie here, still exhausted with that biting and spitting away, still sick with mine own salvation, and you looked on at it all. O mine animals, are you also cruel? Did you like to look at my great pain as men do? For man is the cruelest animal. At tragedies, bullfights, and crucifixions, has he hitherto been happiest on earth? And when he invented his hell, behold, that was his heaven on earth. When the great man cries, immediately runs the little man here, and his tongue hangs out of his mouth for very lusting. He, however, calls it his pity. The little man, especially the poet, how passionately does he accuse life in words. Hearken to him, but do not fail to hear the delight which is in all accusation. Such accusers of life, them life overcomes with a glance of the eye. You love me, says the insolent one. Wait a little, as yet I have no time for you. Towards himself, man is the cruelest animal. And in all who call themselves sinners and bearers of the cross and penitents, do not overlook the voluptuousness in their plaints and accusations. And I myself, do I thereby want to be man's accuser? Ah, mine animals, this only have I learned hitherto, that for man his baddest is necessary for his best, that all that is baddest is the best power, and the hardest stone for the highest creator, and that man must become better and badder. Not to this torture stake was I tied, that I know man is bad, but I cried, as no one has yet cried, ah, that his baddest is so very small, ah, that his best is so very small. The great disgust at man, it strangled me and had crept into my throat, and what the soothsayer had presaged. All is alike, nothing is worthwhile, knowledge strangles. A long twilight limped on before me, a fatally weary, fatally intoxicated sadness, which spoke with yawning mouth. Eternally he returns, the man of whom you are weary, the small man. So yawned my sadness, and dragged its foot, and could not go to sleep. A cavern became the human earth to me. Its breast caved in. Everything living became to me human dust and bones and moldering past. My sign sat on all human graves, and could no longer arise. My sign and questioning croaked and choked, and gnawed and nagged day and night. Ah, man returns eternally. The small man returns eternally. Naked had I once seen both of them, the greatest man and the smallest man. All too alike one another, all too human, even the greatest man. All too small, even the greatest man. That was my disgust at man. And the eternal return also of the smallest man. That was my disgust at all existence. Ah, disgust, disgust, disgust. Thus spoke Zarathustra, and sighed and shuddered, for he remembered his sickness. Then did his animals prevent him from speaking further. Do not speak further, you convalescent, so answered his animals, but go out where the world waits for you like a garden. Go out to the roses, the bees, and the flocks of doves, especially, however, to the singing birds, to learn singing from them. For singing is for the convalescent. The sound ones may talk. And when the sound also want songs, then they want other songs than the convalescent. O wags and barrel organs, do be silent, answered Zarathustra, and smiled at his animals. How well you know what consolation I devise for myself in 7 days, that I have to sing once more. The consolation did I devise for myself, and this convalescence. Would you also make another lyre lay thereof? Do not talk further, answered his animals once more. Rather, you convalescent, prepare for yourself first a lyre, a new lyre. For behold, O Zarathustra, for your new lays there are needed new lyres. Sing and bubble over, O Zarathustra. Heal your soul with new lays, that you may bear your great fate, which has yet been anyone's fate. For your animals know it well, O Zarathustra, who you are and must become. Behold, you are the teacher of the eternal return. That is now your fate, that you must be the first to teach this teaching. How could this great fate not be your greatest danger and infirmity? Behold, we know what you teach, that all things eternally return, and ourselves with them, and that we have already existed times without number, and all things with us. You teach that there is a great year of becoming, a prodigy of a great year. It must, like a sand glass, ever turn up anew, that it may anew run down and run out, so that all those years are like one another in the greatest and also in the smallest, so that we ourselves in every great year are like ourselves in the greatest and also in the smallest. And if you would now die, O Zarathustra, behold, we know also how you would then speak to yourself, but your animals beseech you not to die yet. You would speak, and without trembling, buoyant, rather with bliss, for a great weight and worry would be taken from you, you patient one. Now do I die and disappear, would you say, and in a moment I am nothing. Souls are as mortal as bodies. But the plexus of causes returns in which I am intertwined. It will again create me. I myself pertain to the causes of the eternal return. I come again with this sun, with this earth, with this eagle, with this serpent, not to a new life, or a better life, or a similar life. I come again eternally to this identical and self-same life, in its greatest and its smallest, to teach again the eternal return of all things, to speak again the word of a great noontide of earth and man, to announce again to man the Superman. I have spoken my word. I break down by my word. So wills mine eternal fate. As announcer do I succumb. The hour has come for the downgoer to bless himself. Thus ends Zarathustra's downgoing. When the animals had spoken these words, they were silent and waited, so that Zarathustra might say something to them. But Zarathustra did not hear that they were silent. On the contrary, he lay quietly with closed eyes like a person sleeping, although he did not sleep, for he communed just then with his soul. The serpent, however, and the eagle, when they found him silent in such wise, respected the great stillness around him, and prudently retired.